Let's turn our Bibles. Let's read the word of the Lord before we commit a sermon to the Lord. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all pray. Our Lord, thank you, Lord, for being gracious and merciful to all of us today. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to enter into thy camp and to stand firm in thy word and to praise you, worship you from the bottom of our hearts in spirit. Lord, we thank you. We cannot do this without thy spirit resting upon all of us. We cannot do this without thy grace that is abounds in our life day by day. And we cannot do it without thy mercy that helps us to stand in the way of holiness. Lord, we bless your holy name because, O Lord, you are gracious and merciful to all of us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you love us much more than that we can imagine, that you watch over us much more than that we ask, that you take care of us much more than what we could think of. Lord, we thank you that you opened all our eyes to see our life spiritually, that you opened all our ears to listen to thy words of life. Lord, we thank you that you strengthened our knees and you help us to set our life upon the feet of the spiritual nutritions, the spiritual journey, our walk with you humbly by the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you because today we are here because you decided to give the blessing to all of us today. Lord, we thank you that we came. Lord, we thank you that you will make us whole. We were running around the camp. We were seeking the worldly things. We were running behind the wealth, health, money, the lust and the desire of this world. But Lord, you showed us that we were naked. You showed us that we could not see. You made us to understand that we were blind, we were deaf, we were dumb, we were mute, we were lame. Lord, you healed us. You brought us into thy gate. You brought us into thy camp. And Lord, may you show grace and mercy that we would never leave this beautiful gate. Lord, may you show thy grace that we will always be the prisoners of Christ, being the bond servants of Christ, surrounded by your agape love, shielded by thy spirit. Lord, may you help us. May you teach us. May you speak to our hearts. And may you bless us to listen to you more than asking things to you, Lord. Because, O Lord, you are always willing to speak to us. May you give us the heart that patiently waits upon you. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the praise and worship. Lord, we thank you for all of us here. And we thank you for all of us who are joining us spiritually from different parts of the world. Lord, I bless all of them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that we are here to grow, to be fruitful, to receive you, to understand the purpose of thy calling in our lives. Lord, may you give us a heart that is sensitive, that is tender, that is always crying unto thee because of the burden that you instill in our hearts for the souls who are walking in darkness. Lord, we thank you. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, may you bless our church and all of the brethren to be fruitful in thy sight, to look good in thy sight, that we may obtain thy grace to serve you, that we may receive thy knowledge and wisdom to serve you, to please you according to thy perfect will. We surrender all of us into thy hands. May you take complete control of our hearts, our souls, our minds, to focus and to listen and to grow in thy word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. You may be all seated. Greetings to you all. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for the wonderful testimony of Sister Elsie. We bless the Lord because the Lord always sends us to valleys to see how faithful we are to Him. He never wants His children to suffer. He only wants the children to grow. But growth cannot come if there is no valley. Steadfastness cannot come if there is no stone. That is the only reason the Lord allows pain, sufferings, failures in our lives. But as much as we want to gain victory over all of these things, the truth is we are always victorious as long as we hold on to the name above all names. So we bless the Lord for all the testimonies from this church, from overseas brethren, and all those faithful servants of God, children of God, who trust in God no matter what goes around them, who trust in God no matter how strong the storm is, who trust in God no matter how damaged the ship has been into because of the storm. Because as much as we continue our work, in that ship there is only one thing that cannot be damaged. It's the anchor. The woods can break, the sails can be torn, everything can be broken into pieces. But that anchor in that ship, it won't even have a single scratch. And we know who is that anchor. Every time we remember that the Lord is silent to me, He is not speaking to me, He is not answering my plea, I'm not delivered from this. Do not forget that Jesus is not sleeping, He is resting. The Bible says, the Lord who keepeth Israel neither sleep nor slumber. His eyes are always open. That is why we receive the light. If He closes His eye, we will perish. If He turn His face, we will perish. If we stand firm, if we survive spiritually, being alive in the Lord, which means the Lord's eyes are open. So when the Lord decides to keep silence, He wants us to keep silence as well. He wants us to imitate Him so that we will grow in our faith. No matter how noisy the storm around me, I have that silence in my heart because the anchor is with me. And the anchor is resting on my boat. Even if I sink, I will sink with that anchor. That is why when the Lord told Peter, "O ye little faith," because the moment Peter distracted, instead of looking up to the Lord straight, when he looked to his right, left, when he looked to his right, he started sinking down. But he was not sinking, he was actually walking on the sea, as long as his eyes were fixed on Jesus Christ. The moment he started looking around the storm, he lost the light, because his eyes turned. He turned to left, he turned to right, that's it. Our fall will begin. And he started going down. So the Lord says, if Jonah can survive under the water inside a fish for 3 days, why are you scared of being killed by the ocean just because you are going to sink down the deep. He breathed His life into us. We do not need the air to breathe. Spiritually, we need the water to stay alive. The water in the Bible, as we know how important it is, the voice of Jesus Christ is compared to the sound of many waters. The fountain of life, sweet river, the rain of teaching, whatever the forms of water that you can see in this world, it's always compared to the pouring of the Holy Ghost in our life. Falls, rain, storm. But the same water was also used to destroy all the flesh on the earth in the times of Noah. So that is the double-edged sword. Even the water, when you are thirst, when you are hunger, you are dying without food. If I give you one glass of water, you will live. But if I throw you into a ocean, if you do not know how to swim, you may think, I was asking for more water. Oh, you ask for it, I will throw you into the ocean. But you don't know how to swim, you will die. So if the water is given to you, what is sufficient, we drink and we live. But if the water is given to you to the extent that it overflows you, you will die. Double-edged sword is life, it also brings death. The rock, the solid rock, water comes out of it, brings life. The same solid rock, Jesus, is called as a big stumbling stone for everyone who is against the Lord. Water, sword, stone. You could see life and death on both sides. Water, stone, and the sword. By the grace of God, today we shall continue from the lame who was waiting at the beautiful gate, not inside the temple. There is a sequence that we must all focus. The lame, who was lame since he was born, he was always waiting near the entrance of the gate, the beautiful gate, asking for alms, begging for alms. It's very clear, begging for alms. He was not selling, he was begging, because he don't have anything to buy the alms, so he was begging. But when Peter saw him, he said, silver and gold I have none. And he healed him in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. After that, what happened? That lame walked into the temple with Peter and John. Amen? Where there are two or more gathered in my name, I will dwell in the midst of them. It is the word of the Lord. Word of the Lord is a promise written on the tablets, the stone of life, the precious cornerstone. It shall come to pass. Nobody can stop it. I mentioned Apostle Peter and John, they went up to Jerusalem together, because they were apostles, they were in spirit, they were full of Holy Ghost. Together represents one. One accord, one mind, together, they had all things in common. They walked to the temple and they saw the man lame, and the lame saw them. But when Peter spoke, we read Peter was using the word I, because we are responsible for our very own spiritual life. We are responsible for our very own cross. We cannot hide behind someone. We are the family. Amen. Remember when Joshua said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Amen. When Joshua said, do we really think that he was referring to his wife, his children, his parents, his uncle, his in-laws, or his cousins, or his nephews? No. Joshua represents church. Amen. Joshua always represents church. The context of uttering the word from the place where we belong that defines the meaning of the word spoken. If I say, I have $10,000 in my bank, as for me and my bank, my savings will go to my children. I'm talking in a worldly context. As a father who is responsible for the survival of this family to live, to eat, whatever the Lord allowed them to have in their life until the Lord takes them. Same for me. But if I stand in the presence of the Lord in a church, in a fellowship, in a prayer gathering, there is only one context. Church, family of God. Fellowship, family of God. Brethren, brothers and sisters. Neighbors, those who are allowed to see you and to whom that you are allowed to see them, and to have that love, to love them as you love yourself. When Joshua says, as for me and my house, he says, who are all with me in one spirit, in one accord, in one faith, in one spirit, the unity of faith, that we are all one in Him, through Him, by Him, for Him, and we belong to Him, then we are family. That is exactly what Moses said. Those who are on the side of the Lord, come to this side. Those who are with me in the Lord, come to this side. So Moses said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They serve the Lord. As much our carnal eyes may look at us, it's a massacre, people are dying, but that's not what the Lord wants us to see. When the Lord cleans, it's always painful. When the Lord do the purging, it's always painful. But He does for a reason. Our little mind cannot process. In truth, newborn babies die in this world. Accident. People are getting killed. Is there any reason that we can give them? Is there any comfort that you can speak? Is there any justification that you can tell the parents to calm their mind? No. How can you justify the loss of a loved one other than the Lord, the Father of all mercies, God of all comfort, who can only give them the peace and rest to make them to understand, if you trust me, if you believe me, I will make this pain go away. Because if this world can give us this much pain, this much burden, this much worriness in our heart, how much more our Lord will give His joy. When He reveals His divine plan, because He is the maker and builder of the city, we are all going to dwell in Him, with Him in the mansions. When the Lord opens the veil, when He shows everything, He will give answer to everything that happened on this earth, and He will make us understand whatever is going on that may raise a lot of questions in our heart. Why Lord? Why Lord? Why Lord? But the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Whatever I have revealed to you, hold on to that, trust me in peace and walk your journey. Because there are questions that we should not be seeking answers. There are things that we don't have to waste our time. Our time is the grace from the Lord. That is exactly what Joshua and Moses said. As for me and my house, He is separating Himself to the other side of the double-edged sword, to the other side of the rock, the solid rock, and to the other side of the water, the fountain of life, where life is there. So that He separates Him and His family together with the people on one side, whereas the others who would prefer to stay in own understanding, in the worldly desire, or things against the Lord will have to bring them to this, to His marvelous light. To do that, He needs a family of God who will carry the light for Him. Who will be that flesh which can be used as a glove by Him. The light bearers, the peacekeepers, the watchmen. So when the Lord says, Moses called people, Apostle Peter calls people, Joshua calls people, that calling is not from Joshua, not from Peter, not from Moses. The Bible clearly says, they were filled with the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord was resting upon them. So they speak as the Lord speaks. The Lord separates His children by just speaking the word. Amen. Either we are blessed or we got triggered. Either we feel joy or we feel condemned. But the Lord does not want any of this. He only looks at the growth that we need to attain so that we will survive this world and we will escape from His wrath and we will be caught when He casts down the nets. That all the fish will be caught. The time is near. The things of the world are going down the drain as we climb the mountain. Our responsibility is not to climb the mountain for the sake of finishing our race, your race, my race, but rather meet people as much as you can along the way. Speak to them, witness Christ by your life and invite them to church and invite them for prayers. Every single invitation Joseph gave to his father and his brothers brought them from a different land to Egypt. The invitation sent by Joseph was very important for the Lord to go and speak to the heart of Jacob. So may the Lord guide us as we continue to finish the book of Acts, the few verses before we go back to Exodus. Remember, Aaron and Moses are waiting for us for the past few weeks. We left them in a state where they went and met people. Aaron performed miracles. Aaron spoke the word that Moses put in his mouth. And Moses received the word from God. And Aaron spake and people believed that, okay, these two men are truly from the Lord. They came to save us, not because of the faith, not because of the love for the Lord, but because they wanted to escape that pain, like what Joshua said today. They wanted to be delivered from that carnal bondage. They don't want to go to pain. They don't want to suffer. So they were looking for something. So for them, that something was better than nothing. So they decided to follow Aaron. That is exactly why they did not reach the promised land. They looked for signs, they looked for wonders, they were stiff-necked, they were always looking for something to convince them. That's why the Lord had to correct them, punish them, purge them along the way. Many people, they were devoured by the anger of the Lord. Aaron and Moses are there. They are going to meet Pharaoh. On the other side, we reached a state where Apostle Peter and Apostle John, they went up together to the temple and they healed a lame. On the other side, the two leaders, Aaron and Moses, they also went together. They did some signs and wonders just to get the attraction from the people of Israel who were struggling in slavery. So we have reached the same state in the spiritual exodus and the physical exodus, in the New Testament and the Old Testament, in the time of patriarchs and in the time of apostles. We are in the same state now. What separates them is nothing but the time, the grace, and the fulfillment that then happened, you know, between them. So let's turn our Bibles to the book of Acts. Last Sunday, we left at verse 10. When the people saw the lame walking, praising, they were amazed and they were filled with wonder. Amen. We studied the word of God just now. We are called to be filled by the Spirit. The Spirit brings the fruits. The Spirit gives the gifts. I was surprised a few years ago, one of my friends who is strong in faith, as he says, and he once sent a message to me. He's from overseas in Canada. He sent a message to me. He asked me a question. My dear brother, there are diversified gifts. The Lord decides which gift who will get for serving Him, for attracting souls to the church. It's fine. He said, out of seven fruits of the Spirit, I believe I have five. I could see from my life, but I cannot see two. I can't see these two fruits in my life. Is it because the Lord gives the gift fruits on a selective basis? I was surprised. Then I told him, we will discuss later. Then I prayed for him. We had a fellowship. Then we were discussing many years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. Then I understood there are people who misunderstand the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are given by the Lord as the Lord wants. My dear brethren, fruits of the Spirit represent the attributes of the Spirit. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will have every single fruit that is mentioned there. All seven, not five, not three, not four, all seven. There is no compromise there. There is no partiality there. Because those seven represents the beauty of beholding, the beauty of holiness, the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is our calling. We cannot say that I lack this fruit, I have this fruit. There is no such thing. We must embrace all seven because those are fruits of the Spirit. But when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Ghost, that is where the God's calling comes in. He calls someone to be prophet. He calls someone to be have the healing gifts. The Lord decides how the healing will take place, how the gifts will be dispersed among His children. That is why it's called there are diversified gifts but same Spirit. But when it comes to the fruits, we ought to have every single one of them because it's one Spirit. And those seven fruits, you remember when that lame was asking for alms, I'm lame, I can't walk, you know, see my state, give me something. But Peter came and said, I don't have anything, no silver, no gold, but I'm going to heal you in Jesus' name. Do we really think that Apostle Peter simply healed him from the physical legs? Because that one who got healed, he was walking and praising God. But his leaping was not an important event for those who were witnessing him. That is why verse 10 says, people saw him praising and walking. The reason is, let's reflect this upon our life. Every time the Lord has blessed us with something amazing, something so beautiful that you know that you are not worthy, and you are excited. The Lord touched me, the Lord healed me, and the Lord blessed me. I experienced His love. So you are excited. You jump. You start. Keep on jumping. Keep on jumping. But the Lord says, it is okay to be excited, to have that joy and jump in joy, because the lame will lead. But Jesus said, the lame will walk. Our walk is what the Lord is very concerned about, not our leap. Because you see, when I leap, I will be jumping in the same state, but I'm not moving forward. Yes, the Lord gave me the salvation. I was baptized in Jesus' name. Yes, the Lord revealed the truth to me. I understand things that I never had before. If I start jumping in the same state for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, I forgot that I should be walking. That leap, what happens is, when the Bible says, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen? Shod, planted, mounted. There is no gap between our spiritual journey with the foundation of God. We walk holding onto the foundation. If we start, keep on jumping, when the Lord sent a very strong winds, and when the storm comes and hit you, but at that point of time, if you are on the air, puffed up by the knowledge, puffed up by what the Lord has given us, if we are on the air, if our feet is not shod with the way of holiness on the foundation, the storm will wipe you off. The storm will take us away from how the cross and flow is happening. So the leaping is good when the Lord blesses us for the first time, when we are excited. That's why the Lord says, I want you to be converted like children in your heart, but in spiritual life, no. Apostle Paul says, do not remain as babies, grow to be the spiritual grown-up man. To have that contentment, let's say I come every Sunday, and after the sermon I meet all the brethren and share my joy. The Lord baptized my father, I'm so happy. The Lord healed me from the sickness. I had this cancer, you see the scar, and the Lord, the Lord delivered my soul. I was supposed to be killed in tsunami. In my life I had so many events where I could have been got killed. If I keep on leaping over the testimony again and again to everyone, and let's say I don't tell Brother Infant my joy, I'm jumping, but at the same time Brother Infant had a very severe problem in his life. He's crying inside. He's deeply broken inside. But my leaping will make him even more, agitated or to feel the suffering. Yes, we can say, yes, we should go and share the joy from those the Lord blessed with. That is true. But there is a thin line how we leap. If we are leaping by the Spirit of the Lord to show that we have received the joy, the Lord says, done, good, continue to work. That's exactly why when the 70 returned to Jesus, they were so glad that something happened in their lives, they couldn't believe. They were able to heal people, they were able to cast out demons, so they started jumping. So the Jesus Christ said, do not rejoice for this, but rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. But after he said that, the Bible says, Jesus rejoiced in his heart that they are in such a blessed state. So it's all good as long as we are within the mighty hands of God. We are within the presence of Christ. We are within His sight, that we do not stay away from the way of holiness. We don't go to the left. We don't go to the right. Because leaping is something that we should be very careful of. Now, with that words in our heart, let's read this, verse 10. And they knew that it was He which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to Him. So here our focus is, they were filled with wonder. When the Bible says filled, they are full of something. They are full of something. They are filled with wonder. When apostles gathered in the upper room, they were filled with Holy Ghost, not something. Holy Ghost. But people, when they see miracles, when they see signs, when they receive some knowledge for the very first time, they will be filled with wonder. Oh, is it? Is it really happened in the Garden of Eden? Wow, I didn't know this. Then that excitement will make us to be filled with some sort of a wonder. Is it true? It could be true. Then that knowledge will keep you occupied. But the Lord says, fill with my Spirit. When the Bible says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Amen? All understanding. What is peace? is a fruit of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Peace is the fruit of the Holy Ghost. If we do not have the Holy Ghost, we cannot say, I am at peace. But to say that we are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Lord has guided us in this word, we will continue today. But when that lame was sitting outside the beautiful gate, looking for alms, he received healing. Rather, he entered into the temple with who? With Peter and John. Read this verse, verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Amen. I want all of us to read Peter and John as the church. Joshua, the church. Aaron and Moses, they went there as the servants of God as one. Where there are two or more gathered as one, when the Lord dwelt in the midst of them, they are a church of God. Amen. So the lame who was spiritually sick, who got healed by the apostle Peter, he held unto Peter and John. He held unto those two servants of God through whom he received the healing. Amen. It's very important to show what happened to that lame after he was healed. He started walking, leaping and praising. Then he started walking. Then he went and held Peter and John. He didn't leave them. He did not want to leave them. He held them. What happened after that? When he did that, all the people ran together unto them in the porch. That is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. My brethren, the life of that lame was justified for this verse. He was sick all these years outside the beautiful gate. He got healed by the apostle in the time appointed by God. After he got healed, he did not go away like other two who were healed by Jesus. They went because Jesus told them to go. Because as they were walking, they met people and they asked them, how you got healed? Then he had a testimony to say, Jesus Christ healed me. And the one who did not know his name, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, this is my name. Then he went and testified him again. But this brother, the lame, who was healed by the Lord, who is a brother to all of us in Christ, because he received the word, he trusted the healing, and he entered into the temple with Peter and John. See, verse 8 says, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Amen. He was sitting outside the beautiful gate. After the healing came, he entered into the temple with the two servants of God. But those two are one. Then he held on to them. When he held on to them, only after that, the people who were filled with wonder, looking at him, what's going on, with amazement, the Bible says, all the people, not some, not few, when the Bible says all, it means all. There is no other definition to it. All the people who were present at that point of time, at that place, they did not simply walk, they did not simply crawl, they ran. They ran together to unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. How marvelous it is to see the word together in verse 11. Because verse 1 started by saying, Apostle Peter and John, they went up together to the temple. 10 verses later, all the people who saw the healing, all the people who saw the lame held on to the two servants, two apostles, the Bible says they, all the people, ran together. They did not simply scatter and ran. They ran together because they were all amazed, and they went and gathered in the porch of Solomon's, that the place where they were meant to gather, the porch that is called Solomon's. They were greatly wondering. Now, the life of that lame became complete because his life attracted all the people who were wandering near the beautiful gate to be gathered at one place to listen to the apostle who is about to speak. Amen. Now, can we say that healing took place for the Lord to gather his people? Can we say that healing took place so that lame can walk into the temple? It all happened at the same time. The one who was waiting at the beautiful gate all his years steadfastly, he didn't give up. He was there every day. Whatever happens, he was there every single day. Same as the one who was blind, waiting to enter into the pool. He was there every day. He didn't give up. And the Lord blessed him when the time came. Waiting is the sign of how patient we are in Him. How much we can wait for Him. That is the measure of your faith. That is the measure of my faith. That is what the Lord says, grow. And how He makes us to grow? He makes us to wait. He will make us wait. Only then you will cry, you will be tossed and fro, you will start shouting, you will start frustrating, and over time you will understand there is nothing you can do. There is absolutely nothing we can do, that we feel powerless. Then the growth of faith kicks in. When the seed is buried under the sand, it needs to overcome the sand above the head, so the sprout can just, you know, open the sand and just get the sunlight. That process, the Lord wants us to do it by ourselves. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself. The Lord could have said, if you believe me, I will help you to deny yourself. No. There is no such thing in the Bible where the Lord says, I can help you to deny yourself. Then the word yourself becomes not exist. The Lord wants us to do certain things. Things that are meant to be done by our very own self. Not by the help of many, but one-to-one individual. Deny yourself. Examine yourself. So, when this happened, when this entering of the lame into the temple happened, and people ran together. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. But actually, they did not ask him any question. Then why the Lord says through the apostle that Peter answered to the people? They didn't ask him anything. Do you see any questions in the Bible? When the servant is filled by the Holy Ghost, like how Jesus perceived their thoughts, then Jesus started speaking. Because the Spirit examines our heart. The Spirit knows what's going on in our heart. Jesus spoke even before they asked him questions. And the word that we read is, they perceived. Jesus Christ perceived. The apostles perceived. Even when Nehemiah built a wall in 52 days with the people who were together in one mind, the Bible says the enemies perceived that this is work of God. This work was wrought of God. Not just by God, wrought of God. Enemies were able to perceive that this work, for sure it is done by God Himself. Enemies can perceive the work of God. My dear brethren, enemies can perceive the work of God. How much more so we should be doing. When Apostle Peter said, I'm going to answer you because you have a lot of questions in your heart, and see how he spake. And he started saying, ye men of Israel. This is the second crowd addressing even that we study in the book of Acts. The very first time, Peter called them by saying, ye men of Judea, ye men of Israel, men and brethren. That's it. Then the people called them, men and brethren, what we should do. Then he said, be baptized in Jesus' name. But here, Apostle Peter, he don't have to go around the bush. He just called them, men of Israel. Why marvel ye at this? The same question was asked to him. Men of Galilee, why you are marveling at this? Why you are gazing up to heaven? Apostle Peter asked the same question to the people that was asked to him when he was looking up to the cloud, when Jesus was received by the cloud, when the ascension happened. And he says, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? He's questioning them. Do you really think people like us healed him? Jesus told the 70, do not rejoice because you have the gifts of healing. You have the gifts of dreams. You have the gifts of vision. You have the gifts of prophecy. You have the gifts of knowledge and wisdom, discernment. Whatever the Lord has given us, those gifts are not for you. And the Lord says, I gave it to you so that the tree can look beautiful, the tree can look plenty, for the people who are passing by, they will look at the tree, look at all the fruits, they will be attracted to the church. When they come near to the beautiful gate, the Lord will heal the lame spiritually and He will help them to walk into the church. They will enter into the temple with those servants of God who are in one accord, in one mind. When Jesus said that, it fulfilled in Peter's life. Peter said, do you really think He healed this lame? Do you really think people like me, Peter and John healed this lame? No. He says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our father had glorified His son Jesus, whom He delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when He was determined to let Him go. You see how Apostle Peter threw everything back to them when Jesus said, if anyone desires to follow Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow Me. Amen. You see the same sequence in what Apostle Peter says. Instead of denying yourself, you denied your Savior. Instead of denying your own flesh and ego and carnal mind, you denied your Redeemer. Instead of denying your own life in this world, you denied the eternal life. He came to deliver you and you delivered Him to the hands of men to be crucified. Did Apostle Peter says, do you think that we heal Him? We will pray for you. All of you, you are going to be healed today. That's exactly why the people ran together to Him. People, they ran together to go near to them, to receive if there is any blessing for them, to receive if there is any healing for them. They were looking for something carnal. And Apostle Peter says, do you really think that we heal this lame? And He glorified. Whether you eat or drink, we do it for the glory of the Lord. And what does eat? Our breakfast or lunch? Eat is this, drink is this. The new wine, the bread of life, this is what we are called to eat and drink. And the Lord says, do it. Whatever we do for the Lord, do it for the glory of the Lord. Peter put himself on the floor, back again. He was crawling. He said, I am also a lame. He said, I was also spiritually lame. But the Lord set me upon my feet because Spirit entered into me. And who is that? God of Isaac, God of Abraham, God of Jacob. He told the same word God told to Moses for the very first time he encountered in the burning bush. Oh, you want my name? I am who I am. But Moses, how can I go and send this to him? And God said, okay, go and tell them, I am God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. And Apostle Peter said the same thing. But now, he established the present truth, which was not present in the time of Moses. See, Moses said, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. He stopped there. But Apostle Peter extends the fulfillment of grace, the fulfillment of word, between Aaron and Moses and Peter and John. Apostle Peter completes the statement by saying that God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His son Jesus, whom He delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when He was determined to let Him go. You see, the apostles speak good about the one who was determined to deliver Jesus from the hands of people. Remember, the general, the governor, the man who was in charge of sending Jesus for crucifixion, he had no desire to send Him. He asked the people 3 times, are you sure? Do you really want to crucify this man? I can't find anything wrong in him. His wife told him, I had a dream. He is innocent. Do not do anything harm to him. Because they were two in one flesh. Husband and wife, they were together. And the Lord gave them the same thought. He is innocent, although they were not the disciples of Christ. God is no respecter of persons. Amen? We may think, oh, this man, he is following some heathen God. This man, he did not have any truth. My brother, my sister, the Lord might be pleased in them more than us. What was revealed to us, what was revealed to them, that separated from the way the Lord is going to measure us. Apostle Peter says, that Pilate, he was determined to let him go. He even asked the people, are you okay? I will give Barnabas instead of Jesus. People said, no, crucify him. And Jesus said, people call me my Lord, and I will tell them I never knew you. And they told him, crucify him. That is the true desire that was in their heart. When they say, Lord, Lord, in the bottom of their heart, they had this, crucify him. That's why the Lord says, their lips praise me, worship me, but their heart far away from me. Far away means what? It is on the other side of the solid rock. It is on the other side of the double sword, other side of the water, where I can save, where I can destroy flesh. And the Lord wants us to drag them from that side to this side, outside the beautiful gate, to be inside the beautiful gate. That is our calling. Not to go and correct anyone, but rather to live a life where God can correct everyone. To live a life with holding on to peace and love, where God can show the light through us. That life, we have nothing. We are nothing but sinners who are meant to die forever. When I say forever, by the everlasting fire. And the Lord told us, I separate you from this side to this side, so you will find life. That is how we found the true life. There was heat in Christ. What do you mean by heat? See, in the Bible there is a word, it's always mentioned, right? God told, I will hide you in the rock, cleft of the rocks. I will hide you in my mighty hand. I will shield you with the wall of fire. I will hide you. Nobody can see you. I will protect you. Same thing happened to the other side. God says, I will hide myself from you. People cannot see. There is a big veil that is standing between them and the truth. And how to tear down that veil? We have no power. But if we believe, the Lord says, when Jesus saw their faith, he told the man, your sins are forgiven. So there are people waiting inside the beautiful gate, and they have that faith. With that faith, they walk into the beautiful gate. Let's say we stand here. And there is a man spiritually lame, who is in darkness, who do not know the truth, crawling on the floor. And Lord saw the faith of these people, and he dragged him to the other side. Jesus told him, man, your sins are forgiven. Deep. But the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. He didn't see his faith. Amen. Our calling is much more beautiful than what we can think of. Amen. Because we should not think. The Lord says, don't think. Just open your mind, open your heart, let me come in. Let me fill you with my spirit, then you know what to do. Amen. Because it is not you who will do, I will do through you. Amen. It is not me, it is Christ who is in me. Amen. We saw that Peter addressed the crowd. He did not start with some prophetical reference to the Old Testament. He started at verse 12, even before the people spake, he said, you delivered him to be crucified. You denied him. He started saying all those truths. Amen. So the sword is in work. Is at work by the Spirit, not by Peter. He is not building, he is yielding. Let's see what happened. Verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One and the just. So the Lord says, if you do not deny yourself, you may think you are in the same state, but the Bible says, if we do not deny ourselves, that means we deny the Holy One and the just, because he called all of us to his marvelous light. So denying ourselves is something the Lord is watching, is expecting us to do better. That is what the Lord wants us to achieve, to overcome the sand that is upon our head. With the strength of the Lord, we come and sprout above the sand. Once we come out, that's it. God will take care of the rest. Why? When we are under the sand, sunlight cannot touch us. The moment the sprout comes out, that's it. When we receive sunlight, the growth, the Lord will take care of it. The gardener will take care of the plant. When the plant come out of the seed. Calling is for everyone. To be the chosen is for very few. And those few are those who deny themselves, overcome the sand above their head, and peek and look at the sun. That's it. The rest, gardener will take care of it. That separates. When the Lord says, the spiritual gifts and the callings are irrevocable. That is what the Lord says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And among the every knee, every tongue, the Lord will be the judge. He says, believe me even before I show you something. Because if the Lord, as he speaks, if the Lord opens the cloud and looks at the entire world, perform miracles, the entire 8 billion population will be baptized on the very same day. Then there will be no space to conduct praise and worship. The people will be fighting for places. Lord won't do that. He will let our hearts deceive ourselves by the development of technologies, by the wars in the country. He will let us to be tossed and thrown by the fire. But he will wait and see what are the seeds are growing above the sand to receive his light. Once it is there, when we take one step from our home, like I'm going to church, that was the only step that you took by denying yourself. Every other step that you took until you reached the church, it was from the Lord.
We take one step, He will move the mountain. We have this little faith, like very little belief that I am not worthy, but if I take one step, the Lord will make me worthy. I am weak, but if I take one step, the Lord will make me strong. I am not ready, but if I take one step forward, the Lord will make me ready. That differentiates you from everyone else, the true worshippers of God. Now, when people are listening to Apostle Peter, we know that it's not going to be sweet, because truth is always bitter. So Apostle Peter is going to speak some words, and Saul is persecuting Christians on one side, and three people gathered on the other side to listen to who? Apostle Peter. You see verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Peter says, the deliverer, the redeemer, the savior came for you. You denied him and you wanted the murderer to be granted unto you. Remember, when Pilate told the people, I will give him to be crucified, because he was able to judge him to death, because he was in the position to discern whether he is a sinner who is worthy of to be crucified. So he told the people, I don't find any sin in this man, Jesus Christ, and I want to let him free. He asked them three times, not once. Peter denied Christ three times. The people denied Christ three times. Peter prefigured, he was like a prefiguration of the entire people who saw the works of Jesus, but still they denied him three times before he was crucified. Then Pilate asked them three times, they denied him three times. And he said, I will give this murderer to be crucified. But the people said, we want this murderer to live with us, and we want this redeemer to die. How sinful it is. How blinded they were. We were also there. As I said, we were also standing with them. Until the Lord separates us from such darkness, irrespective of when you were born, how old you are, we were there in every single crowd that was addressed by God through His servant from Genesis until now. Because Jesus saw all of us beyond the cross. Time is only for you and me, but for Him, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's continue to read this. And kill the prince of life. You see, you wanted a murderer, you wanted the enemy to be with you, who is the adversary, who is a liar, murderer from the beginning, but rather you denied the prince of life who came to give you the life. And verse 15 says, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now Apostle Peter identifies himself and John to the crowd by saying, do you think that we heal this lame? Let me tell you something. He say all of this about Christ. He established the present truth. What Moses left when he was speaking to the Lord, when Aaron speaking to the people, they introduced God as God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Then Apostle Peter came and say, the word of the Lord, the complete manifestation of God's word fulfilled in Christ, who is the Alpha and Omega, who is the way, the truth and the life, and we are His witnesses, and you are the murderers who killed Him, who delivered unto Him death, because Peter was also one of them. Amen? Peter was also one of them, but he died. Now the newborn Peter, the new man, is speaking to the people, because the Spirit is resting upon him. Now, Brother Clement, please help to read from verse 16 all the way to verse 26. You can read from 11 actually. You can read from 11 until 26. Chapter 3.
Now as the lame man was healed, held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of your fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And this name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes to him has given this person this perfect soundness in the presence of you all.
Amen.
Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold those days. You are sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, is turning away every one of you from your iniquities.
When Peter spoke all of this, he used a word that we discussed a few Sundays ago. Perfect soundness. Amen. And he quoted Moses and all the prophets before him, and he told the people the state that they are in, and he is telling them, be baptized in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why he was speaking all of this even before they asked him a question is because Peter could perceive that they were filled with what? Wonder. But they are called to be filled with what? The Spirit. Because Spirit, where there is the presence of the Lord, then there is liberty. The truth shall set us free. The Lord has given us the Spirit of the truth. Amen. Now, let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 2. Before we read the chapter, let's remember, when the Lord spoke to the watchman Ezekiel, he told him, arise, go to the plain, I shall speak with you there. Amen. Three steps. And Ezekiel did the same, and the glory of the Lord stood there when he reached the plain. And the Bible says, the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet. And after that, the Lord showed him things, spoke to him his revelation, and told him what he's about to do in his life. Only after the Spirit entered into him, the Spirit filled him and set him upon his feet. Amen. As we know, there are a lot of Christians in this world, and there are a lot of churches in this world. When the Lord performed the very first miracle, even when he said, woman, my time is not yet, the hour is not yet, but still he performed the miracles. And we are going to study the words, and may the Lord teach us, speak to our hearts, concerning what we learned in book of Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4, as Apostle Peter is speaking to the people, and Aaron, Moses, they speak unto the children of Israel. So we have two on one side, Aaron and Moses. Amen. And we have two on the other side, Peter and John, because Saul is not hired yet. He is still wandering, looking for a job. He is not hired by the Lord yet. Now, let's pay attention to the words that Jesus Christ talked to the people. Let's read from verse 1. On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Correct? There was an invitation for them to be at the marriage. Oftentimes, verse 2 is completely forgotten. They did not go for a marriage to which they were not called for. Verse 2 says, both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When Joseph extended invitation to Jacob and all the people with him, he sent an invitation. There was an invitation, that is why the Lord spoke to Jacob and Jacob decided to go to Egypt. There is always an invitation.
there is always a calling before the Lord decides to do something with that very particular soul, whoever it is. Now, let's continue verse 3. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Verse 3, let's read this. Did she ask Jesus, I want you to make wine? Did she say that? She didn't say anything. She just said to Jesus, they have no wine. She did not say anything. She didn't say, change the water to wine, do if you want, do some wonder. She didn't say anything. She just said, they wanted wine, it ran out. And she said to Jesus, they have no wine. She did not even say, they want wine. She did not even say, they are in need of wine. She simply said, they have no wine. Amen?
Yes.
It's like the foolish virgins, they have no oil. It's like what Joshua told to Moses, there is some noise, I think it's noise of war. A discernment was given before something performed, and she simply said that they have no wine. We may think it as a physical marriage, a physical wedding, but for us, everything is for a spiritual life. Everything is for a spiritual life. Verse 4 it says, Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Jesus said this here, but he also told John, this is your mother. Amen? Remember, he tells us what Joshua told in many years ago. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Jesus said, if anyone wants to serve me, leave your father, mother, brother, all your family relationship, and come and follow me. Does that mean he wants us to forsake them? No. He tells, leave your family relationship and embrace them as your brother and sister in Christ, then follow me. Then we become one family of God. Because serving the Lord wants us to abide. Amen? We are one family of God when it comes to the service of the Lord, in a fellowship, in a church. That is what Jesus Christ said. Family relationship moves to second priority when the Lord called all of us into one place, in one accord, in one mind. When this continues, when Jesus says, mine hour is not yet come, and his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. She told them, whatever he says, do it. If he decides to reject, if he decides to say nothing, whatever he says, do it. But you know how the denominations twisted these words? People say that she told him to do something that he didn't want to do. She was able to give him something, to do something even before the time has come. They put someone as much higher than the Savior himself. Deception. Twisting the word of the Lord. She simply said, do whatever he says. She didn't even say, I will say something, he will do it. No. She simply said, do whatever he says. But now let's see what happened next. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone. This is our sermon today by God's grace. Water pots of stone. We have water, pot, and stone. There were set 6 water pots of stone, as if it was there, meant to be. The same way the lame was there, outside the beautiful gate, all his life was there, was present for something to be manifested in his life. And those 6 water pots of stone was there. The word is past tense, it's not in future tense. It says, and there were set 6 water pots of stone. It did not say, after Mary told this, people went and brought some 6 water pots of stone. No. There were set 6 water pots of stone. Now, 6 water pots of stone. Every time we read this word stone, we know what it means to our life. Our Lord is our precious cornerstone, chief cornerstone, the lively stone. And we are called to be the lively stones, the spiritual priesthood built upon him. We are the fellow workers of God, God's husbandry. He is the maker and builder of the city. And Jesus Christ is always seen as the solid rock, fountain of life. He's also the stumbling stone. Stone. We keep it there. Now when Jesus spoke to them, let's see how beautifully he uttered the word for all of us who are learning from him today, thousands of years later. See what he says. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pot with water. When I read that verse, I was smiling. About 3 a.m. or something, I was led to this verse. I was praying, meditating. See how sarcastic it is to say, fill the water pot with water. What Jesus says, there are water pots, but there is no water. It is called water pot, but there is no water. Yes, he is called Christian, but there is no Christ. He says he is spiritual, but there is no spirit. He says he is the servant of God, but there is no service. He says he loves God, but I don't see love. Water pot of stone, Jesus says, fill the water pot with water. He says the pot is dry, I don't see any water. Fill the water pots with water. This word, you see, it is called water pot, but actually it is nothing but a pot. Yes, you are called to be a Christ in your life, but the Lord says, yes, there are things that are called to be water pots. But the Lord says, fill the water pot with water, because the water pot is empty. I do not see the water. The Lord is the one who calleth, he is the one who justifieth, and he is the one who delivereth. Amen? Amen. When Jesus said, fill the water pots of stone with water. Amen. We were dead in sin. Then we were dead to sin because we are alive in Christ. Amen? And the Lord says, you were like nothing but a water pot of stone. You thought you had water in you because your name is called water pot. But actually, there is no water. Let me fill you. If the Holy Spirit is not filled in our life, not to this, the Bible says, fill up to the brim, overflows. When Jesus said this, fill the water pot with water, and they filled them up to the brim. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus told them, fill the water pot with water. He told them, fill it, and they filled it up to the brim. Now, in those days, if you know the history, the water pots are not small. When you see there are 6 water pots were set of stone, much, much bigger, where they store the wine, where they keep water, then they need another small vessel to draw the water from there and to serve the feast. They cannot carry the water pot to serve. It's so big. It's very heavy. And the Lord needs another cup to draw the water, some from that pot, to serve the people who are called to the feast, the marriage. Now let's read this. And the people filled them up to the brim. Amen? Up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Read this in the New King James Version, brother. Same way, verse 8.
And he said to them, draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Amen. Now, in verse 7 and in verse 8, there was no mentioning of the word wine. Do you see that? There was no mentioning of the word wine in verse 7 and verse 8. Jesus told them, fill the water pots with water. That's what he said, and they did so. Up to the brim, and they did so. And even when Jesus told them, draw some out and give it to the master and to take it to the feast, and they did that. But when the master of the feast had tasted the water, not by seeing, you remember, for our outer appearance, if we see something transparent, we will say it's water. If we see something like blood color, gray color, we will say it's wine, because of the outward appearance. But verse 9 says, the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine. Amen?
Amen?
It did not say, the ruler of the feast tasted the wine. No. The ruler of the feast tasted that water that was made wine.
Amen.
That was made wine. But Jesus told them, fill the water pots with the water. Now, and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Amen? Until now. Now, I want all of us to focus on this pot for a while. The water pots of stone had no water, but still they were called the water pots of stone. So for me, the question is, why the name water is stick to the word water pots in both, in all translation you will see. You will see there were set 6 water pots of stone, were set, but they had no water. Why I am bringing this? In our home, we have a lot of containers, vessels to store oil, to store water, and to store your food items in that, right? If you tell your children, go and bring the water bottle, the child will go and find which bottle is filled with water and will bring the water bottle. Amen? True? They won't bring, even if the containers all look identical same, they will identify what we ask them based on what was inside the container, then they will bring us the water bottle, a water container. But when Jesus said, fill the water pot with water, and he said it was empty, it had nothing that I wanted, so he filled the water, and he did not call it as wine until it was identified, glorified by the one who tasted it, who tasted the water that was made wine. Now, let's remember the life of Peter and the lives of people who were led by the Lord in the wilderness. See, then if I draw the same pot, and instead of talking about water, if I say that there is a flame that shines bright around that pot, as much as I call it pot, if I fill that bottle with oil, and now you won't call it as water pot, you will call it as the song that we sing, give me oil in my lamp that I shine bright. Amen? But the difference is, in both the cases, the water pots of stone must be filled with water so that the Lord can serve the wine. And here, the oil and the lamp must also be filled with oil so that the flame can shine bright, that you will continue your journey. Foolish virgin, wise virgins, we studied that. Oil, water, flame, and wine. How do I know that it is a flame? It is because of the warmth, the heat, that is the attribute of that flame. If I simply draw a candle and just draw a flame, if I ask you what it is, you will say it is flame. But can you get the heat from this flame? No. It is a candle, it is a flame, but it is not the real flame. It is called water pot, but it is not the real water until the Lord fills the pot with His water. And this oil, as we run out in our life, the Lord is willing to fill the oil, but He wants us to earn it. If we do not deny ourselves, how the Lord can fill our life with oil? And if there is no lamp in our life, how we can shine bright the Lord? When you compare this with the Ark of the Covenant, which was designed to be carried by people, there were 2 woods on the sides so that people can carry the Ark of the Covenant. But the Lord had also put something inside, the Word, in all our lives. And when a Spirit resting upon us, it set the lame to walk again. Because remember, our life was something like this. We were crawling, and only when the Spirit entered our lives, you know, we became upright in the sight of the Lord. And we praise Him. We walk and praise Him. Now, we may think it's not that important in my life because I am saved. The Lord delivered me from my sin. I was a weak person. I was a sinner. It's all true, but it's all over. But now I am standing. The Lord has given me the strength. But the Lord says, are you filled by my Spirit? Do you have the oil up to the brim that you can shine bright the flame, the same flame that the Lord showed to Moses when he appeared unto him? Water and fire, and we know when the Lord said, He will baptize us with the Spirit, with the water and fire. And now, let's keep this in our heart. The water pots were called water pots even before the water. Now you remember the verse. Many are called, few are chosen. Amen? The Lord will call every soul, and He will choose only those who hear His voice. Now, let's continue to read Acts chapter 2, verse 8. We remember that the apostles were filled by the Holy Ghost. They were filled by the Holy Ghost. And the words that we read in verse 8 is, when Peter was filled by the Holy Ghost, he spoke unto the people. Amen. And in verse 4 we read, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. So verse 4 was a fulfillment of the Comforter was given to the servants of God, the apostles, what Jesus promised to them, and what Prophet Joel said, that the Lord will pour out His Spirit upon His children. Now, I want us to go to Exodus chapter 31 to see how the Lord guided His children when it comes to being filled, and being filled with what? Because when Jesus healed the lame, people were filled with fear. When Peter healed the lame, people were filled with wonder. So there are certain things that can make our life to be occupied, that can make us also to feel that we are filled. But the Lord says in chapter 31, when He told them the instructions concerning how they are going to do the workmanship, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Verse 3 says, I have filled with him the Spirit of God. Amen. The Lord says, I call him by his name because he is going to do something for me, some work. But he cannot do that work until he is filled by the Spirit of God. The Lord says, he don't even know what work he is going to perform. But until the Spirit of God filled in his life, he cannot do. He says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. We are called God's workmanship. Amen. And when the Lord said this concerning to someone in the times of Moses, that was about designing something for the tabernacle. Amen. The Lord says, yes, he's going to design something for the tabernacle, but he says, I called him by name. His father is this name, and he's from this tribe. He tells them, I have called him by name, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, so that he will receive the wisdom and knowledge on all manner of workmanship that was supposed to be done to glorify his name. In the time of Moses, the Lord is talking about Spirit of God filling a person. Exodus chapter 31. What we read in Acts chapter 2 verse 8. Service to the Lord is not possible if the water pots of stone filled with the water of life. Shining bright for the Lord is not possible if there is no oil filled by the Lord for the flame to continue to burn. Not here, not to the middle, not to the sufficient, to the brim. The Bible says they filled up to the brim. Jesus did not say fill up to the brim. He simply said, fill the water pots with water. But when Jesus said fill, I told you, he always talked about whole. When Jesus said the lame, do you want to be made whole? Spirit, soul, body. He received the healing of the body first. He forgot his name. He went and testified to the people. They asked him, who healed you? He did not know the name. He went back to the temple and the Lord came and met him. Sin no more. Then he went and told everyone, the man who healed me, his name is Jesus. His testimony became full. When Jesus told them, fill the water pot with water, my sheep hear my voice. Those who were there to perform the work, they filled the water up to the brim. They fulfilled what the Lord expected of them. Because the water pots were set there for his manifestation to be there. As much as we say, Lord, fill my cup, fill my cup. My brethren, there are two things. One, is the water pot from where Jesus will draw out some and serve to the feast. Amen? So we saw the water pot and we saw the flame and oil, but there is one word Jesus said in verse 8. Draw some out now and give it to the ruler of the feast. Draw some out means what? He says take some out. No matter how much you take, the Lord will keep on filling it. And which means there is, let's say there is a portion where the wine, water can be drawn by a small vessel, a small cup. Now you remember when Jesus said, take this cup away from me. When Moses said, is there any other way? If not, blot my name out of your book. When he said, Lord, fill this cup. Lord, help me to be a vessel. We treat him as a fountain of life, the everlasting fountain, which can never go dry. But he is willing to fill the pot up to the brim. But if the pot thinks that I am a water pot, then we are not the water pot. We are the empty pot. Although people may call us, you are a Christian, but my brethren, we know in our hearts whether Christ in us or not. We might be spiritually lame, but the Lord is the only one who can make us upright by filling us with the Spirit. So, the word Christians, the Lord wants all of us to be the followers of Christ who are filled by the Holy Ghost, who receive the grace to serve Him with everything we have got by the fruits of the Holy Ghost. The gifts He will decide. Now you see, He said, draw some out with a small vessel and cup and serve the feast. And serve the feast. And now, in Exodus, when the Lord called this particular servant who was called to serve Him by designing the tabernacle, the artisans, the Lord says he was filled by the Spirit of God to have the knowledge and wisdom. Let's continue. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35 verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and the son of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of worship. My brethren, last Sunday I was sharing something with you all, that those who received healing, they also went and tried to tell what exactly Jesus told them, but they could not imitate exactly what Jesus told them. Do you remember? Jesus told the lame, arise, take up thy couch and walk. But when the people asked him, what happened to you? He said, Jesus came and told me to take up my bed and walk. He forgot to say the word arise, but Jesus told him, arise. When he told the blind, go to the pool and wash and you be healed. But when he came and testified, he reversed the sequence. We may think these are small things, but my brethren, Exodus chapter 35, what Moses said, and read what we just read in chapter 31. Do you see any difference? Not even a single letter you will see a difference. He said exactly what the Lord told to Moses, and Moses said exactly what the Lord wanted him to say to his people. I read the verse twice again so that we receive from the Lord. Chapter 31 verse 3 says, the Lord told Moses, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Amen. God speaking to Moses. Now, chapter 35 verse 31. Moses speaking to people. And he had filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. He told exactly what the Lord told him. Why? Because we know Moses was led by the presence of God. He was led by the Spirit of God and he was a servant of God. He knew exactly that the Lord is speaking through him. But my question is, God could have told Bezalel that, my dear son, I fill you with my Spirit and I give you all the knowledge and wisdom, understanding. Now you go and tell Moses that I fill you. Did he say that? God told Moses that what he has done to his servant, not to the servant, and Moses told the people, this is what the Lord did in the life of Bezalel. If Bezalel come and told Moses, God did this, God told this, God did this, then God is violating his own authority. In God's kingdom, anointing flows from top to down. Amen? When the Lord spoke to the people, the Lord told Moses, I will put my mouth in your mouth, and you will put your words in the mouth of Aaron. Amen? Do you see any change in what the Lord spoke in the life of Moses? No. God told Moses, and Moses told the people what the Lord did to Bezalel, and he honored his servant because the Spirit of God filled him. And he spoke the very same word, exactly what the Lord spoke to him. We may see it as, yes, the Lord has filled Bezalel, but my brethren, the hidden message here is, Moses was filled by the Spirit of God. That is what we should see from Exodus chapter 31 verse 3 and Exodus chapter 35 verse 6. Yes. So now, let's continue Numbers chapter 14 verse 21. And this is where the Lord gave them the promise that the whole earth will be filled by His glory. Numbers chapter 14 verse 21 we read, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." Amen. Water, flame, glory of the Lord stood there. Amen. Water, flame, glory. Now, in Numbers, when the Lord told this in context, verse 20 he says, "And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice." We talk about denying Christ 3 times, denying the crucifixion of Christ 3 times, that the people wanted the murder to be granted unto them. But here the Lord said, "He did this 10 times. They did not hearken unto my voice." And before that, He gave them the warning, all earth is going to be filled with my glory. It is up to you whether you want to be part of it or not. Today, I will place you a blessing and curse. The Lord asked us to take the choice. Now, this is what we read in Numbers. And before we enter into the territory of New Testament, there are a few more verses in the Old Testament that is truly enlightening to us. Job chapter 23 verse 4. There is no space, I'm not going to write. So, but we read the words of the Lord, and the Lord will teach us. Chapter 23 verse 4, we read, "I would order my cause before Him and fill my mouth with" what? "Arguments." Job is speaking and he's saying, "I would order my cause before Him and fill my mouth with arguments." When those people who witnessed the healing, they were filled with fear, they were filled with amazement, they were filled with wonder because of the signs and wonders. So there is another way of filling going on in this world, filled with knowledge, filled with understanding of the books and this and that. But the Lord is looking at all of us. Are we filled with His Spirit to be able to say that the Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet? Because if our feet is not set upon the foundation, we will be wiped off. And here Job is talking about an example that we can also be filled with arguments. Not just that. Let's read Job. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 22. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 22. I read from verse 21. "For 3 things the earth is disquieted, and for 4 which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat, and for an odious woman when she is married, and an handmaid that is had to her mistress." Verse 22 says, "When the fool is filled with meat," and the Lord says, "these 3 things of the earth is disquieted." And the Lord calls foolish virgins and wise virgins, and also the Lord calls all of us, "I have chosen the things, the foolish things of the world, to put the wise into shame." We may see these are contradictory, right? The Lord called all of us to be the wise virgin, and the Lord says, if we are not, we will be the foolish virgin. And the Lord said, "You are also the foolish things of the world, because He will put the wise to shame." Both are same. The Lord says, if you are wise in His word, you will be called as a fool in this world. True. If we are true worshippers of God, people will hate us. They will persecute us. They will despise us. They will reject us until they are the people of the world. But when they become the people of God, they will embrace us. We will be rejoicing and dancing with them in unity. So now, the Lord says, when a fool is filled with meat, when we say, Lord, we are spiritually, we don't want to be babies. Lord, we are drinking the pure form of spiritual milk as we grow. Lord, as we grow, give us the meat to eat. Yet the Lord is willing to help us to grow. But the Lord says, if you are not standing on my foundation, if you are not filled with my spirit, the same meat that you are asking can make you as a fool. Can make you as a fool. Let's start this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Let's go these verses before we come back to filling of the spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen? Now in Proverbs, the Lord says, when a fool is filled with meat, and the Lord said this is something he despises, he don't like. Because he wants a wise virgin to be filled by the oil. He wants his water pot to be filled with the water. And he wants his children to be filled with the spirit. He does not want anyone else to be think that they are filled with something else. But here it says, blessed are those who are hunger. Because he is going to feed us. And he will make us to eat and drink to glorify his name. And thirst after righteousness. And we have no righteousness. Thirst after righteousness. As we follow the ark, and the Lord says, I will keep you filling. I will keep on filling you. Then he says, they shall be filled. He has given us the promise. What we will ask? We started the sermon by saying, we will ask the Father in his name, give us the Holy Ghost. Fill us with your spirit. There is no other prayer that can surpass this one in terms of asking the Lord what you want. What the Lord says, ask, you shall receive. Knock, the door will be opened. Seek, and you shall find. What we are asking. He said, you are a lame. You are waiting outside the gate of beautiful. The beautiful gate, as he calls it. You are waiting there outside all the time. Asking for alms. You are asking for alms. You didn't ask for salvation. You are looking for some deliverance. You are looking for some healing. But the Lord gave us salvation. He did something that we did not ask him. Did anyone here ask the Lord for salvation and the Lord gave it to us? We were sinners. The Lord found us. We were running here and there. The Lord found us in the temple and told us, your life is changed. Sin no more. Salvation found us. We did not find salvation. The Savior saved us. We did not find the Savior to save us. We were actually waiting and laying on the ground, crawling outside the beautiful gate. The Lord dragged us to be inside the beautiful gate. When we read this, blessed are they which do hunger. What the Lord said, if I don't see hunger, if I don't see thirst in your life every day, I'm not going to fill you. Just because you are seated inside the beautiful gate, none of us can say that I am inside the camp of God. Those two are two different things. Only the Lord knows who is seated in his presence. Only the Lord knows who has opened their mind and their heart for the Spirit to fill them. Why? Let's continue to read this. Luke chapter 6 verse 21. I read from verse 20. It is the same that we read in Matthew, but we see what the Lord says here. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now. Do you see the difference between what we read in Matthew and here? And the Lord says, yes, you are hungry, I fill, but that is past. That milestone has been done. That was yesterday. You are burning. As you burn, the oil will run out. As I serve people through you, as I empty the pot, you will run out. And the Lord says, that is then. It happened. And the Lord says, blessed are you who is hungry now. When Peter spoke to the people, they got baptized now. When Peter told the lame, silver and gold have I none, I heal you in the name of Jesus Christ, he was healed now. Amen. The word now is there in everywhere when the Lord performed through his servant. When Moses told those people who are on the Lord's side, come to this side now. Amen. He did not tell them, Take your time. Take 2 days, 3 days, 2 years, 3 years. When you think you are okay, when you think your wounds are healed, you can come to the church. My brethren, it is a deception. Now is the best time in the sight of the Lord. When the Spirit works in us, the Spirit does not need time. The Spirit is called quickening Spirit. The Word of God, the double-edged sword, is quick, sharper. It just goes in there, pierces our heart, and gives the strength that we need to walk into His camp. Let's continue what Jesus said. Who are hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Amen. Now, the Lord says, your suffering, your sorrow, He will turn everything into joy. But do we have that faith to believe it completely? To wait patiently, to have that faith? If there is no Spirit filled in our life, we will lack all the fruits of the Spirit. That is what I told my friend many years ago. He cried and we prayed together, and he realized that instead of asking for the Spirit, he was praying for the fruits. He was praying for the gifts. We always tell, Lord, you are my Savior. Save me from this. Ask Him in your life. He is called Savior. He is called the Redeemer. He is the Prince of Life. He is the Prince of Peace. We should have Him in our life. Everything else is in Him. If He is in us, everything else is with you. But what do? We circumcise. We do surgery. We ask the Lord selectively. Lord, I want this. I want this. It is good when you are filled up to the brim and the Lord is serving peace through you. But if you are not filled, if we are empty and the Lord wants us to focus, what is very important, it is ask the Father in His name for the Spirit to fill us. If our church is not filled with the Holy Ghost, do you think a new soul can walk into the door? No. If our church is not filled with the Holy Ghost, do you think that we will see another week? No. We may think everything is given for us. Let me tell you, within the next 7 days, I can leave Singapore. Brother Paul can decide to go to some other place. Brother GB can go to some other place. Brother Zon and Brother Ringfan, they all can fight each other. We all can fight each other. We all can dismantle within 5 days. And the next Sunday, there won't be no one in the church if the Lord decides to scatter us. He is gracious. He is merciful, because of which we are united in His love. When we embrace the unity of faith that has been given to us, we should embrace it. Not just the way the lame was holding onto Peter and John. It says he was holding them, not leaving them. When people saw that, they ran together to them. When the church starts bearing fruit for the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord, people will start running together to them. That is the only way we can bring souls to Christ. That is the only way we can be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, for the Lord to do works in our life. Now, if we continue what the Lord speaks to us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, when the Lord calls all of us to prove our calling, He wants all of us to be filled by His Spirit. Once the Lord fills all of us, and then the fruits, the gifts, the blessings, the salvation, evangelism, bringing souls, everything will overflow. But until the Master tastes that water that was made wine, the wine will not be served to the feast. Amen? Jesus told them, draw some out, give it to the master of the feast. And who is the master? He is the master. Who made the water into wine? He made the water into wine. He is all in all. He is doing everything in all of us. He is the intermediator. He is the high priest. He is the savior. He is the redeemer. He is the deliverer. He was the one who filled the water. And He was the one who made the water into wine. And He is the one who tasted the water which is made wine done before He served the feast. He is all in all. That is why we say, when we say, is everyone fine? But my brother and sister, everyone is plural. Why we say everyone is fine? When we say everything is fine, is a singular, but everything is plural. If we ourselves understand the unity of bringing together, everything is, everyone is. And the Lord says, let us create a man in our image. Let us fill the earth with our glory. When the Lord says, I embrace you, He cannot say that if we are not in this state. He cannot say that if we are not in this state. Not here, up to the brim. He cannot say that if we are not filled up to the brim. He will not start serving until the pot are filled up to the brim. Not here, not here. Up to the brim. Up to the brim represents the whole body is under the control of the head. Jesus Christ, the church is filled up to the brim by the head of the church. Now, let's read this. Chapter 5, verse 18. Brother Clement, can you read this for me? And also, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Ephesians 5:18.
Ephesians 5:18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, and be filled with the Spirit. Colossians 1:24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church.
Amen. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with Spirit. This is exactly what is going on in the seventh church age. It is true, the Lord filled the water and made the water turn into wine, and then he tasted the water, then he served the wine. To the feast, people are being blessed. But now, Ephesians, Apostle Paul, an apostle, gave us a warning. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with Spirit. When we read in Habakkuk, my people will perish for the lack of knowledge and wisdom, the misunderstanding is, people think that we should learn and study the truth and keep the knowledge so that we won't perish. That is a yoke of bondage. And the Lord says, you may think that you are holding on to wine, what the Lord gave to all of us, what we learned. But the Lord says, that wine can make you drunk, can make you leap, can make you do something that he didn't want us to do. He said, he is the one who made the water into wine. He wants all of us to be filled by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 is a beautiful verse of what people mock at apostles. Oh, they were drunk with some new wine. Remember? When they were filled with Holy Ghost, they were speaking in tongues. People were mocked at them. Yes, they were filled with the new wine. But Apostle Peter says, did I heal this man? Do you think that I healed him? When he said that, he said, I am nothing but the empty water pot of stone. The Lord filled the water, and the water turned into wine, and the wine was served to the lame. But what for Peter, it was not the wine. It's not the healing. It's not what happened to the lame. For him, and for all of us, it is this. To be filled with the Spirit every day, as we are hungry, we are thirsty, the Lord says, I will fill you. And now, we continue to read Psalms 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. My brethren, read this. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I have no word to write, but may the Lord write this verse in our hearts. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Do you see there are three words? You can map it. If anyone decides to follow me, let him deny himself, take his cross, and follow me daily. Amen? Now read this verse. The Lord says, open thy mouth wide. Did the Lord say, I will open your mouth? The Lord says, it is your duty, it is your responsibility, it is your calling that you overcome your own flesh and own carnal to deny yourself, to open your mouth, not to this extent, not to the extent that you want, open your mouth wide. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When the Lord says, open your mouth wide, he tells all of us, open your heart wide. Cut to it so that I can enter. Do not give me small room. I want all. The Lord cannot stay in your heart as a tenant. He will be the landlord in your heart. He will be the landlord in your heart. He lives in our heart. And the Lord says, if you can open your mouth wide, I will fill. If you open your mouth as you want, I won't fill you. That's what he says. When the Lord says, I will fill thy mouth, he says, I will be able to speak through you. There is no way. When the Lord wants to say that, I want to be your mouth, I want to be your voice, if the vessel is not ready, like this. When the water pots of stone, they were opened, filled by the water up to the brim, because Jesus told them to fill. But if out of 6 water pots stone, what if the 2 water pots, they were locked on the top, and the people could not open it? Then Jesus would have said, fine, forget about the 2, fill the rest. which are open wide for him to enter. Many are called, few are chosen. When he reads in Psalms, the Lord says, let's say if someone wants to testify Christ to someone, you want to witness to some soul, and you want to share on Friday, you want to share your testimony, and let's say you want to preach the gospel of peace, you give a sermon. Do you know how the Lord wants us to prepare our hearts? The same way he dealt with Moses, the same way he dealt with Peter, the same way he dealt with Apostle Paul. How? Throughout your life, your thought is open, left open on your top. You do, Lord, I submit perfectly, perfect submission, I surrender. You take, do whatever you want. I am a clay. Paul, we are made as pot because we were clay, and the potter broke us, mold us, add water to the clay to have the flexibility to design us into a water pot, and the potter made us into a water pot, but that does not stop there. The Lord says, yes, I broke you, I mold you, but it does not stop there. It is not finished until the pot is filled with water. The flame will not come until the oil is filled up to the brim. And when the Lord said, I will break you, I will mold you, and when we read this in Psalm, open the mouth wide, it is the deny thyself word, what Jesus said. Open your mouth wide, deny yourself and follow me, I will fill you with what? With myself. The Lord is willing to fill our life with himself. And we continue to read few verses before I close. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22. We will continue by the grace of God next week. I will read from 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So this is actually chapter 2, which I wanted to read next. In chapter 2, we read, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. Through the Spirit. Now we read Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Amen. Over all things to the church. Up to the brim. Verse 23. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. Verse 23 beautifully explains us the fullness of him that filleth all in all. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the river of Jordan, when we saw that the Holy Spirit descend upon him, and when God said, my fullness dwells in him. Amen. And here we read, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The Lord wants us to ask him to be filled by his Spirit. The Lord wants us to knock that beautiful gate, that he will open the gate, that we will enter and commune with him. And the Lord wants us to seek his face, that we shall find the light, the grace and mercy that can come from his presence in our life. Those are the only three things our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wanted us to ask, knock and seek. It's all about the Holy Ghost. When Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I shall give it to you, he told the disciples, I will go unto the Father and I will send the Comforter to you, and he will teach you all things. May the Lord bless us and guide us and help us to commune in prayers, that we will ask in his name to receive the Holy Ghost to fill our lives. We will continue this as we have some more verses to meditate and learn from the Lord. God bless you all. Let's all stand and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for leading us with the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, in the mountains, in the valleys, in sorrow and in joy. Lord, we are blessed because, O Lord, you have purpose in your heart to be gracious and merciful to for all of us. With all of us, O Lord, with thy Spirit, with thy strength, and we will overcome. all those sand and obstacles, barriers that is above our head. And we will, O Lord, overcome every single walls of Jericho that is standing high and tall in our life by praising you, by worshipping you, by walking humbly with you, with a steadfast obedience, with a desire to serve you, and most importantly, above all everything, O Lord, to ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ for the Holy Ghost to fill us, to fill our lives, to fill our heart, to fill our everything completely, O Lord, so that we may receive thy calling to be manifested in our life, O Lord. May you help us to be the fruitful trees in thy vineyard. May you help us to be the choicest wine in thy vineyard. May you bless us, O Lord, to understand thy calling. It's all about the Holy Ghost, which fills our life to continue this journey that is set before us, to walk together as one family of God. Because, O Lord, as for all of us and for our family, we will serve the Lord. We are one family of God, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the words of life. May you help us to stay within thy camp. Thank you, Lord. You healed all of us. You blessed all of us and opened the beautiful gate. And you allowed us to enter the temple. Lord, may you bless us to remain as a prisoners and born servants of Christ within thy walls of fire, the walls of love that you have surrounded all of us, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless thy holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.